On today's show, I'm continuing my top 30 Rangers prospects rankings with 11 through 20, including a lot of guys who had fantastic seasons in Frisco that I got firsthand looks at that I am really, really excited about their future. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are locked onto the Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Patrick, a cripplingly addicted Texas Rangers fan since 2010, the founder and host for all four seasons of this Locked On Rangers podcast. Thank y'all so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. If you're not already, you can follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. You can follow the show at Locked On Rangers and subscribe on YouTube, where the best way you can help grow the show is to comment any single thing below. Now, on yesterday's show, if you haven't checked that one out, go take a look at it. I am ranking my top 30 Rangers prospects. I do this twice a year. Last year, I had a lot of new guys, a lot of guys shooting up the rankings. This year, there were quite a few at the top end that made their graduation from the system. So we've got some interesting guys to talk about here in the middle of the system. This is a really, really deep Rangers farm system. So let's go ahead and start off with number 20. We have a right-handed pitcher, Ryan Garcia. He is 6'180", going to turn 25 in exactly 20 days, a second round pick out of UCLA in the 2019 draft. Hadn't pitched a whole lot before this season at the minor league level, pitched in 2019, and I believe had a Tommy John surgery in 2020 or 2021, because his only minor league experience before this year was three outings, two in Spokane in 2019 and one in the Arizona Rookie League. So the Rangers still had Spokane as their affiliate. So that's how long it's been since he has pitched before this year. But this year, he was absolutely fantastic between Down East and Hickory. He was a little bit older than the level for Down East, 2.3 years older than the average pitcher in the Carolina League, but he was still fantastic. 12 starts for him, 46 and two-thirds innings, a 2.31 ERA, and 59 strikeouts. It's 11.4 strikeouts per nine and 3.3 walks per nine, and less than six hits and less than about half a home run per nine and 0.6. So really, really outstanding stuff for him in Down East. He was a little bit limited, was not able to go very deep into games early on. They were really limiting his pitch count as he was still coming back, hadn't pitched again in a minor league game since 3 years ago. So they really wanted to be careful with them, kind of took the reins off just a little bit towards the back end of the season and really let it ride when he was in those games. Went four or more innings every outing from July 24th on. That was his final eight outings of the season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, his final eight outings of the season went at least four innings. And actually, only two of them, he went fewer than five innings. He went right around five innings pretty much every single timeout, including his two at the end of the season in September when he got called up to High A Hickory. He was absolutely dominant. That was his one. He had one outing out of the bullpen, which was just kind of a tandem starter thing. He went five innings in both of his outings, including the start. His first start in Hickory was absolutely electric. Five shutout innings, just two hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts. The next outing he had, five innings, two hits, no runs, three walks, and six strikeouts. So this is a guy with some really, really good stuff, jumping through the system as quickly as they hoped he would, despite missing that time due to injury. The ceiling is pretty decently high on this guy. I'm not exactly sure what all his arsenal entails because there hasn't been a whole lot talked about him since he was drafted all the way in 2019 and missed those 2 years, one due to COVID, one due to injury. And so this is a really, really great season for him. It was a shortened season because he didn't start until June 3rd, but still, he made the most of when he was on the hill, and I am really, really impressed with what he did. I'm assuming he's probably going to start in Hickory. The Rangers could get aggressive and start him in Frisco because, again, he's got quite a few years under his belt, and they're going to want to get him through the system pretty quickly, so they're not going to have to put him on the 40-man. It's probably going to happen fairly soon. If he continues this pace and dominates Hickory like he did last year and gets called up to Frisco at midseason, this is a guy to definitely keep your eye on because he had a great season. Another guy who had a fantastic breakout season is Jonathan Ornelas. The Mr. Everything had a fantastic season. I kind of liked him the last few years. Was not super high on him. Was not a guy who was really super high in any prospect rankings. He's the Rangers' third-round pick back in 2018. He is 6 foot, listed at 196 pounds, plays shortstop, third base, second base, center field, left field, right? He just does it all, and he does it at a very, very high level. There's a lot of guys who will play a whole bunch of positions and kind of like, oh, fart around with it and be okay at it. And then there's guys who play all those positions really, really well. I think he is a legitimate shortstop. He is capable of playing that at a average defensive level at major league baseball level. His offense took a huge step forward, which is the biggest thing for him. He played 123 games this year in the regular season with Frisco, still 2.2 years younger than the average player. He's always been a lot younger than the average player in his league, no matter where he stopped by. But this was a big breakout season, the highest OPS for him at any level since 2018, when he dominated in the Arizona Rookie League. This year, he had 580 plate appearances, a 785 OPS, on base of 360, hit just 1 point below 300 for the season. I think if you add in his postseason numbers, then that would bump that a little bit up. But for some reason, no one wants to list postseason numbers in minor league baseball, which kind of annoys me. But he had 14 home runs, 20 doubles, two triples, 785 OPS, like I said, 45 walks to 121 strikeouts. And again, he plays every single position out there outside of first base and pitcher and catcher. But yeah, I don't know, maybe he could do those if you wanted him to. But he played a lot of different positions and played a lot of them pretty consistently. He played four games in center field this year, 86 at shortstop and 29 at third base. So that was where he played most of his games last year. He played 27 in center field, so not as much in the corners. Did play a little bit there in Hickory in 2019, but for the most part, he has been on the infield, but still, I believe, can play center field. I've seen him out there. I've seen him at short and third. He looks good no matter where he is, and that is a guy with a lot of value. A great, great clubhouse guy. Everybody likes this kid, and he is bilingual. He grew up in Arizona, so he is very fluent in Spanish and English and just a super hard worker, and I loved seeing him have a breakout this year. Absolutely fantastic year for him. Coming up, we're going to get into some of the younger guys in this system that there's not a whole lot of information on, but the little bit of information we've got is super exciting. But first, this episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every professional amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball. We have got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline.net as well. We are always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more, because BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Now, the next guy on my list is someone that I was intrigued with last year. I think I put him towards the bottom of my list, or he was at least someone that I was looking at putting on the list, was under consideration. This is a young third baseman, Glider Figueroa, a left-handed hitter listed at 6 foot, 165 pounds. He is 18 years old, doesn't turn 19 until the end of June, out of Las Matas de Farfan in the Dominican Republic. And he was excellent in the Arizona Complex League this year. This was his second professional season. Last year in the Dominican Summer League, he had 48 games where he had a 714 OPS. So not as impressive numbers last year, but having a 355 on base as a 17-year-old in the Dominican Summer League, where he was a year younger than the average player there. That was some impressive stuff. He was 1.7 years younger than the average player in the Arizona Complex League this year. He had 35 games there with a 979 OPS. That was what really caught my eye. 9 home runs in 146 plate appearances, 5 triples, 5 doubles, hit 280, an on base of 363, slugged 616. This guy absolutely lit it up there. 15 walks to 33 strikeouts at that level. Then he got called up to Down East, where he was nearly 3 years younger than the average position player. It was just a matter of, as a lot of these call-ups for these young guys at the lower levels, their seasons are ending a lot earlier than they have. Every season, every level you go up, it's about a week that they've started implementing that this year. So the next season, like, all right, you want to get this guy some more at bats, even though he's probably not ready for the next level, you're going to have to call him up because your season's done and you could have an extra week at the next level, even if you're not ready for it. So I don't think he was necessarily ready for it, but in six games, he kind of held his own at 208 batting average without any extra base hits, walked twice, struck out eight times, a 269 on base, but really kind of looked overmatched there. Not quite ready for it, but still got to get him some extra plate appearances. And there weren't a whole lot of super high value position players in the Down East team this year, but a fantastic season for him nonetheless. I think he starts the year in Down East. I don't think they're going to wait to start his season until the Arizona Complex League is starting in late June or July or whenever that season actually starts. But small sample size, 35 games of absolute dominance in the Arizona Complex League. Really, really exciting stuff for Glider Figueroa, who is listed as a third baseman and has only played third base. For a second there, I thought he was a shortstop, but no, still some fantastic offense for a youngster who, if he's hitting 9 home runs in 35 games as an 18-year-old, just imagine what kind of power he can grow into. Anyway, let's get to the next guys on the list. This trio of pitchers who I am quite excited about. This guy, Mitch Bratt, is a Canadian who is 19 years old. The Rangers drafted him in the 5th round of the 2021 draft out of Georgia Premier Academy in Statesboro, Georgia. He is left-handed, throws left-handed, bats left-handed, listed at 6'1", 190. Had a really, really solid season this year in his second year of pro ball. Last year, the Arizona Complex League had a 0 ERA in 4 games, 6 innings, 13 strikeouts. Did have 2 unearned runs, but didn't walk a single batter in his 4 outings of 6 total innings. This year, he was a starting pitcher, got some more outings there in Down East as an 18-year-old, where he was nearly 4 years younger than the average player at his league. This is something that you really want to keep an eye on because it tells you a lot more than the stats will, how the Rangers feel about their certain players. If they are that much younger than the average player in their league, then they have some real, real confidence in those guys to go in and dominate or at least hold their own and learn a whole lot about themselves at that higher level. But an 18-year-old in full season ball dominating all year long is really, really impressive. He had a 2.45 ERA in 80 and two-thirds innings, 99 strikeouts, 28 walks and just 4 home runs. So 11 strikeouts per 9, 3 walks per 9, and under half a home run per 9 as an 18-year-old in full season ball with an ERA under 2.5. That is really, really impressive stuff. We'll see how that holds up next year. I'm assuming they'll bump him up a level, but a 19-year-old in high A next year, that is something you perk your eyes up and think, huh, that guy must be pretty special, because that's what Evan Carter did this year. And so that's about how they feel about this kid as a pitcher. Really exciting stuff from him. TK Roby, if you're feeling nasty, is the next pitcher on my list. Number 16, a righty, drafted in the 3rd round of the 2020 draft. Don't look at the numbers. I mean, do look at the numbers, but the numbers don't tell the entire story here. Last year, as a 19-year-old, again, he was 3 years younger than the average player at a 2.45 ERA in 22 innings and 35 strikeouts. This year, he got bumped up to Hickory, a 20-year-old in Hickory, had a 4.64 ERA in 104.2 innings, 129 strikeouts, 35 walks, 19 home runs, which is not great, but one of the things that you need to know about this kid is that he was reworking his delivery this year, making it more repeatable, a little bit less susceptible to injury. When he came in to the Rangers system, his mechanics were a little bit shaky. Not that they were bad, but they were just questionable, not necessarily super repeatable. The stuff was really, really nasty, but you had some concerns that with his delivery, he would be more susceptible to injuries. So the Rangers reworked that this year. It took him a little bit of time to get the feel for that down, but you can kind of see it in his numbers as they get better and better as the months go on. In the first month of the season, had an ERA over 5.5, over 6.5 in May, back down to around 4.5 in June, and then in the final 3 months of the season, each of those months, his ERA was under 4, 3.6, 3.9, and then 1.86 in two outings in September, where he absolutely dominated. 9 2/3 innings in those final two outings of the season in September, 17 strikeouts. So nearly two strikeouts per inning in that final month of the season. Really liked what I saw from him. The reports, people on the ground seeing him. The home runs were more of an early season factor. Had 3 home runs in the first month. In May, he had 4. In June, he had 7 home runs. Had that 4.5 ERA, but did strike out 29 in just under 22 innings. So, he had more home runs allowed than walks in the month of June. Just a really weird inning for him. Got that under control. 2 home runs in July, 3 in August, 0 in September. So much, much better stuff from him there, and still kept up those high strikeout rates for the final months of the season while limiting the runs as well. So encouraging stuff from him. His repertoire is really, really nasty, and I am really excited about his future, and I'm hoping to see him in Frisco next year. I'm thinking he might crack that rotation, but we'll see what he looks like in spring training and how the Rangers feel about him. But at some point in this year, he is going to see Frisco for sure. We have a few more pitchers on this list, some guys who have gotten quite a few eyeballs on in the past few years, and an infielder who made his Frisco debut this year and absolutely crushed it there. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you have got to try Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little bit healthier this year. If you're like me and you want to eat healthier but you don't want to compromise on taste, then man, I have got just the thing for you. You have got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. I'm not sure how Built does it, but they make these protein bars taste like candy bars, and now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering Built bars at built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart and Sam's Club. That's right. Head to the nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section, grab yourself a box of Built bars. You can pick up a four bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puff. If you're close to a Sam's Club, then run in and grab a 13 bar box of our favorite brownie batter and churro. Then you can thank me later. Go to built.com or your local Walmart or Sam's Club. Now, let's take a look at the next guy on this list, another left-handed pitcher with some pitchability. Another guy who, again, you need to know more than the numbers. This is Cody Bradford, the 6'4 left-hander drafted out of Baylor, the Aledo kid. A 6th-round pick in 2019, had shoulder surgery. I forget the actual name of the injury that he had, but he missed some significant time and did not pitch professionally for the Rangers, or for the minor league system, I should say, until 2021. This year, he was back in Frisco after a decent stint out there last year, 7 starts with an ERA under 4, as a guy who is 2 years younger than the average pitcher at that level. Still younger than the average pitcher at that level, 24 years old this year. Had an ERA over 5, 118 and 2/3 innings, and 124 strikeouts. But the thing you need to know is that he got much, much better as the year progressed. He was absolutely electric in that run through the Texas League playoffs for the Frisco Rough Riders to win their first Texas League championship since, I believe it was 2004. It's been a hot minute since I've talked about that. But yeah, he was pretty much their best pitcher, their best starting pitcher throughout that run. And that really, really says something. When the lights were brightest, he stepped up in a big, big way. And the thing that I was most impressed by was the 118 and 2/3 innings this year. They're still building him back up from that injury. Last year, he had 96 and a third innings, which was really, really encouraging. Had that 2020 off due to, well, there being no minor league season. And I think that was still when he was coming back from the shoulder injury, because he only pitched three games, 7 innings in his 2019 final season at Baylor. So seeing him be healthy and dominate and be a big, big pitchability guy was huge. He was also electric in August, 4 starts for him in that month, 23 and 2/3 innings and 30 strikeouts and just 3 walks. Yeah, just 3 walks. absolutely dominant, knows his stuff, knows himself, and knows how to get hitters out. That is a very, very valuable skill, and I think he could be a big league starter at the back end of a rotation. But he's a smart kid. He's going to figure some things out, and he, being healthy after that shoulder injury for two straight seasons now, is a huge, huge sign. I think he might end up getting the bump to start the season in AAA because of how good he was at the end of the season, but I don't think he's long for the minor leagues. He is a smart kid, a crafty lefty through and through, and I am really excited about his future. Next guy on this list is another youngster and outfielder, Yason Morabell, who is 19 years old, just turned 19 about a month ago out of Luperon in the Dominican Republic. This was his second professional season. He spent time between the Rangers Arizona Complex League and Down East. Down East, again, for him and a lot of these young teenagers, was a really, really rough stint for him. But in the Arizona Complex League, he was absolutely electric. He plays left, right, and center field. Hits left-handed, listed at 6'2", 170 pounds. 41 games, 173 plate appearances at the Complex League this year. He had 3 home runs, 13 doubles, and 1 triple. Hit .329 and on base of .405. And slugged .487. That is an .891 OPS. The year before in the Dominican Summer League had an OPS over 800 and on base just 5 points below 400 and slugged over 400. 6 triples for him that year as a 17-year-old in the Dominican Summer League. But this year was pretty darn good there in the Arizona Complex League. So 17 walks, 34 strikeouts. 5 stolen bases to 5 times caught stealing in the Complex League, and was more successful in Down East, 2 stolen bases to just 1 caught stealing there. So I'm excited to see what he does this year. I'm assuming that he is also going to start in full season ball. We'll see what that looks like, and I think eventually he is projected to move to a corner, but for right now, he can still play center field, so they're going to keep him there for as long as they can. 13 games for him in center field at the Complex League, and he played 16 in left, 9 in right, so they're trying to keep him in the center as long as you can, as long as his athleticism can keep him there. I haven't gotten any eyes on him to see how fast he is, but hopefully he can start to add more power as he grows up and fills into his frame. I mean, he is 6'2", so he's got some room for power, but I do still think that there's a chance he sticks in center field. But really nice season for him, still very, very young, and we'll see what the 19-year-old can do in full season ball next year. Next guy is Thomas Seguisi, 5'11", 175 pounds, a 5th-round pick in the 2020 draft. The final pick of that draft that is looking like an absolute freaking coup. 4 of the 5 players, I think, are going to be big leaguers in that draft. And I think not just big leaguers, but like actual impact big leaguers, which, man, if that ends up being the case, and that's what it looks like right now, just 2.5 years removed from the draft, that could be one of the best Rangers draft. It could be the best Rangers draft ever. But Thomas Seguisi is a second baseman, shortstop, and third baseman. I don't think he's going to stick at third base or at shortstop for the long term. He is drafted out of Carlsbad, California, and is 20 years old, will turn 21 on April 10th this year. This year, he spent time between Hickory and Frisco, was on the stretch run in Frisco, had 5 regular season games there. Last year, he was in Down East for 73 games. This year, the majority of the season was in Hickory, where he was absolutely electric as well. 98 games there, 419 plate appearances, 14 bombs, 2 triples, 22 home runs. The guy hits the crap out of the baseball, has some really, really good at-bats, hit .308 and on base of .359 this year in Hickory. Then when he got called up to Frisco, I believe he won the Texas League Player of the Week award for the 1 week he was in Frisco. 5 games there, 22 plate appearances, a .1266 OPS, hit .381 on base, over .400, slugged over .850. He was absolutely annihilating baseballs. A homer, 2 triples, and 3 doubles in just 22 plate appearances at Frisco. Fantastic season for him. He is 4.2 years younger than the average Frisco player. I think he starts there next year. Will play a lot of third base, maybe a little bit of shortstop. He played 15 games at shortstop this year in Hickory. 31 at third base and 48 at second base. When he got called up to Frisco, he played one at third, three at second, one game at first base. And if my memory serves correctly, in the playoffs, he was playing, I feel like, mostly third base. I think that is where he was playing. Maybe he was playing second, and they had Ornelas at third, and then Luis Angel Acuña at short. I can't remember specifically where each of those guys are lined up, but it seems like second and third is where he is going to stay. The arm is good enough to stick at third base. I just think that he is not quite quick enough to be at shortstop, but the bat will definitely play at second base or third base. A good clubhouse guy, listed at 5'11", 175, already hitting for a decent amount of power as a 20-year-old and hitting for it at the higher levels, which is really, really encouraging stuff there. Has some really, really nice plate appearances, and I am way higher on this guy than I was on him last year. I should have been higher on him then, but an impressive season at a place you can't see a guy is different than seeing it up close in person and seeing how he absolutely stings baseballs to all parts of the field. Really encouraging season for him. Next guy on this list, we have another youngster, Anthony Gutierrez. I haven't had as many of these guys in my top 30 or as nearly as high as I have in the last few years because, I just haven't. And because 2020, and we didn't get a whole minor league season. So it's these guys are matriculating through the system. We're finally getting to see what they look like. But this 17-year-old Anthony Gutierrez, listed at 6'3", 180 pounds, is a right-hander, plays center field, right field, and left field out of El Tocoyo in Venezuela. He is 18 years old, just turned 18 on November 25th this year. He split time between the Dominican Summer League and the Rangers Arizona Complex League and held his own at both places. Really dominated in the Dominican Summer League. That's where he put up most of his damage. Hit 352 with an on-base over 400, slugged 539, a 946 OPS, three homers, and eight doubles in 23 games at the Dominican Summer League level, then got called up to the Arizona Complex League as a 17-year-old, where he was 3 years younger than the average Arizona Complex League player, but still held his own. 22 games there, 87 plate appearances, put up a home run, five doubles and two triples, hit 259 on base, just one tick below 300, and a slugging percentage of 407. So a 706 OPS, not bad for a young kid who was playing a lot of center and, mostly center field. In 2022, he played 29 games in center field, 7 in right field, and 5 in left field. So they are really going to let him stick in center until he cannot. He was the Rangers, I believe, their highest paid international free agent back when he was in 2020. I think that was his class, if my math is correct. Maybe that was 2021. Yeah, I think it was 2021 before he was 16. So this is his first professional season. Really liked what I saw from him there. I don't know if he's going to start in the Arizona Complex League next year or if they're going to be aggressive and challenge him with a full season assignment. That might be a little bit much. I think that he's probably going to get another season in the Arizona Complex League, but who knows? This kid, the Rangers believe in him. They already brought him stateside in his first season of pro ball. That is exciting stuff. He does have a November birthday, so he is a little bit younger. So he couldn't have had some time last year as a 17-year-old or as a 16-year-old to be in the Dominican League and then as a 17-year-old be in the Complex League for the entirety of that season. But we'll see how they feel about him. I think they are really, really high on that kid. So we'll see where he ends up. But I am really keeping my eye on him. And the last one on today's list, I'm sorry to end it on kind of a bummer, but this is where he slots in. So this is where we are going with Cole Wynn, the 6'2", 190-pound right-handed starting pitcher. Was born November 25th, 1999, is 23 years old, Rangers' first-round pick in the 2018 draft out of Orange Lutheran High School in Orange, California. There's no way around it. This was a bummer of a year for Cole Wynn. Last year, he was the brightest prospect in the system, the biggest spotlight the biggest, huge plus bonus. He was a guy who went through the deload program, so he missed some time due to, he did not miss time due to injury. He's one of the only ones that didn't have Tommy John surgery in that deload program. At age 19 in Hickory, he had a huge, huge problem with the walks, 5.1 walks per nine that year, his first professional year, where he was, again, 3 years younger than the average player in the Sally League. That was back when Hickory was low A. Last year, between Frisco and Round Rock, he was absolutely electric. 3.7 years younger than the average Texas League pitcher. He was 21 years old and dominated, absolutely dominated in Double A. A 2.31 ERA, 78 innings, 97 strikeouts, just 3 walks per 9 innings, under 5 hits per 9 innings, a whip of 8.21. He just was not allowing any base runners at all. Got the walks a little bit more under control that year. This year, everything just went sideways. I don't know what it was, but he could not control his walks at all. 6.4 walks per 9. Did still have the strikeouts over strikeout per inning, 9.1 strikeouts per 9, but an ERA of 6.5. He was healthy. That's the other positive. 121 and 2/3 innings this year, which was a career high for him. 123 strikeouts, but 87 walks and 13 home runs in those 121, nearly 122 innings. There was not some progression of like, oh, well, he was really, really rough at the beginning of the year, like some of the other guys who have some poor stats. It was just, it was rough all year. It was pretty good in April. He was much better there. He had a 2.20 ERA in 4 starts there, averaging about 4 innings per outing, 15 strikeouts, just 5 walks in those 16 and a third innings, but didn't allow any home runs, and then everything just went to crap, and it honestly got worse, it felt like, through the season. He had an ERA of 9 in July, a 7.77 ERA in 5 starts in September, where he allowed 6 home runs in 24 and a third innings and had 30 strikeouts. So I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with him. If I did, I would probably be a professional scout, and I would be much better at analyzing these prospects, but whatever's wrong with them, the Rangers, that's probably one of their top priorities, is figuring out what the crap went wrong with Cole Wynn. He just really struggled to command any of his fastballs, and especially any of his off-speed stuff, his breaking stuff just was not going where he wanted it to, and so when he could command one pitch, he would try and throw that right in the middle of the zone, just trying to get a strike over, and would get lit up. But this, having him at 11, the Rangers put him on their 40-man roster, so they still believe in him. And I do think that he can figure this out, because it seems like a similar problem to what he had when he was in his first professional season after missing a full year or not pitching in the short season or complex league or anything in 2018 when he was drafted because stupid deload program. And he was still figuring out how to pitch again in 2019. And then he fixed whatever it was in 2020, I think, over that break, and it showed up in 2021. But AAA hitters are really darn good, and big league hitters are even better. So I think some of those problems snuck back in. He was still 5.2 years younger than the average AAA pitcher. Now, part of that is just because it's AAA, and that's where some guys' careers go to die. So there's a lot of 32 and 35-year-olds, whatever, in that level. But still, he is still very young. He's going to be 23 next year. There is not significant reason to just hit the extreme panic button, and the Rangers are not going to trade him, because this is the absolute baseline of his value. There's no reason to trade him. There's no reason to leave him off of your 40-man roster and let him get picked in the Rule 5 draft, because you would really be kicking yourself if someone else fixed him, and his ceiling is still that of a number 3 starter. Maybe if everything went super right last year, I thought his ceiling could be a number 2 starter. I'm kind of bumping that down just a little bit, but I do still think that he can figure this out. He's a smart kid. Whatever is wrong, maybe it's mechanical, maybe it's mental. I don't know what it is, but I know that he is going to work his tail off to get that fixed, and the Rangers are going to do everything in their power to get him back to pitching like the dominant guy he was back in Frisco in just 2021. That's going to do it for this edition. I'll be back with the top 10, I believe, tomorrow. Maybe it'll be Friday, but it'll probably be tomorrow. But thank you all so much for listening and subscribing. For your next listen, Locked On MLB Prospects host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he is going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. So if you like prospect podcasts, he is definitely one to check out after this one. Thank you all so much for listening and subscribing. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.